There was a song many years ago asking this question: what if God were one of us? It went through many scenarios challenging the listener to see the image of God in one another. Have we strayed so far from our purpose that we no longer see the divine in one another?
We hope to touch hearts. We hope to inform. We hope to inspire that we all are created in the image and likeness of God.
Welcome to another weekly edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. If you remember the lyrics to that song, One of Us, from the mid-1990s, they were much more personal with the questions they asked and less theologically accurate. How would we react to God if He was in front of us rather than was He really one of us? God, of course, was one of us for a time and lives in each believer through the Holy Spirit today. And what does that mean as we interact with one another? Well, that thought, in a very specific way, is one of the directions we're going to go on today's edition of Come Receive the Light with our host, Father Christopher Metropoulos, the founder and executive director of OCN, the Orthodox Christian Network, and the president-elect of Hellenic College, Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology. This is the first announcement we're making on the broadcast about that. I'm Mike Trout, and I'll be weaving some of our disparate thoughts together during the next half hour. We're going to start off by going back to a recent conversation we had on this broadcast about our future. I saw an email from Father Chris yesterday which talked about an emphasis for the Orthodox Christian Network ministry this summer, which will bump up against the daily news headlines, and you'll understand what I mean by that as we listen.
I have with me in the studio Seraphim Dankert. He's the Director of Development for OCN, and I want to talk about some of the things that OCN is involved in probably in the next couple of weeks that will benefit not only OCN, but also the network per se. Seraphim, let's talk about some of the things that you're planning for the summer.
Sure. We have a really exciting new focus over the summer. Not exactly a new focus, but an intensified focus on raising awareness about Christian persecution in the Middle East. Okay. And really, that's been something which has animated our listeners and our readers, and which we've tried to bring attention to, and we want to do that in an even more intentional way over the summer. And so we've dedicated our summer appeal, our fundraising appeal, to help us boost that effort. And all of the donations that we receive to support the ministry will go towards enhancing OCN's capability to cover the terrible plight of Christians in the Middle East and try to get some action here in the West on that issue.
And truly it is. And I know that through our social media, we've seen a great outreach now. We're able to reach literally millions. I'm looking at our Facebook page right now, which has a post reach at this moment of 5.5 million people. Mm. So that reach goes beyond the United States of America. Now it's worldwide.
Yeah, it's worldwide. And it actually, we have quite a following in the Middle East itself, countries all over the Middle East. And one thing that we see very consistently there is that they find great comfort in the fact that an American organization is paying attention to their plight. They feel like they're totally ignored. I actually did an interview with a representative of IOCC's activities in Syria and also the Patriarchate of Antioch's activities there. And one thing he said is he just doesn't quite understand why no one seems to even know that this is happening. I mean, obviously, people aren't doing anything, but people don't even know.
Well, the interesting part, too, about the social media aspects of OCN now is that we do have, I mean, when I'm on it, I'm getting constant messages from people overseas. Pray for us. We're here. We need your help. So that's great. So you're going to be doing that over the summer, and people will be receiving information. They can go to our website and find out more about it, right?
Yes.
Okay. And this is pan-Orthodox. This is the OCA, the Antiochian Archdiocese, the Serbian Archdiocese, the Carpatho-Russian Archdiocese. And matter of fact, we're going to be speaking to their bishop very soon, Bishop Gregory. Why is OCN vital to the life of the church today? What do you think, Seraphim?
Well, I think the statistics show that the average person, really regardless of their age, is just more and more tuned into the digital world. Mm-hmm. And so if that's a reality, then the church has to be there where people are to be a reminder. And it can never, replace the actual community of believers, the body of Christ, one's prayer life, all these other things, but it can supplement and strengthen them and call people back to that, you know, incarnational reality.
Absolutely. Excellent. Thank you very much for joining me today.
A little music in the background, perhaps taking you to the other side of the world. When you go to our website at myocn.net or on our Facebook page, you can support this effort that we just talked about by joining our 10 cent per day campaign. When you join that campaign, every penny you give goes to ministry outreach rather than administrative expenses. Also on our website and Facebook page, Twitter, Google Plus, etc., you'll see a letter we received here at the ministry less than a week ago sharing a very encouraging testimony of conversion. It will inspire you. We receive thousands of letters on a regular basis at the ministry, and this one especially touched us in a way that links directly to what we just talked about. Spending time on our website and social media outlets will also take you well beyond the walls of where you live and help you see Christ at work throughout the world. I love that. Be encouraged and join with us if you can. As Seraphim said, this ministry does not take the place of your local church body, but it is a tool that helps you reach out around the world with us. This is Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, and we're on the web at myocn.net. The bishops of the Orthodox Christian Church are given the responsibility to preserve the dogma and protect the faithful from heresy. In a very real sense, they are like fathers in a family. Father Chris mentioned a few minutes ago that we were going to talk with Bishop Gregory of Nyssa, the primate of the American Carpatho-Russian Orthodox Diocese. And in this month, when we honor fathers here in the U.S., the topic of that conversation, which is up next, is the paternal nature of the bishop.
One of the many responsibilities of the hierarch, as we said, is to protect the dogma of the faith. How do you do this? It's a huge, huge issue to deal with.
Well, I would say that, first of all, the leadership of the church needs to have a very good, a very clear knowledge of what the Orthodox faith really is, its history, its practices. And then, secondly, we have to be extremely vigilant, constantly on the lookout for things that start to creep in from the outside, faith groups, and from pop culture into our communities. People see things on television and they think this is orthodoxy. No. They read something in a book, this is orthodoxy. No. Someone has to be that sort of a protector. And that falls on locally, of course, the priest, but in a larger picture, the bishop.
Okay.
And then I would say, thirdly, no bishop is an island of his own. He is working with other hierarchs. And in the Assembly of Bishops of the Canonical Orthodox here, bishops, we are staying well connected with ourselves and in addition to our mother churches. And if we do this, we can fight off the heresies that come in. Then the wolves that are attacking our faithful, we have to provide the protection. And so always in a vigilant state.
So knowledge and vigilance are the two keys right there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You have to have this, or something is going to happen, and you're going to go, what happened? Why didn't I catch this? Because I didn't protect, I wasn't vigilant, and I didn't even know.
Okay.
I lack the knowledge.
All right. How about the role of the bishops with that of a father? How do we compare those two or bring them together?
Well, I would say... This is a nice question, because the bishop is the father of his people. He is, of course, the shepherd. He has been given the staff and the responsibilities by others to take care of his flock. But when we talk about the bishop, he has to be also the father. He has to be able to guide and to share with everyone the truth of the faith, how things really are. Not some kind of fantasy land, because we can get pulled into fantasy land easily. Always he has to be loving, like the loving father. but occasionally, when necessarily necessary, he has to put a tough love. Mm-hmm. You know, he has to be the disciplinarian. He doesn't want to do this, but no father wants to be the disciplinarian, but he knows it's his responsibility to, when he needs to put his foot down about something. And the father slash bishop has to lead by example. Mm. I mean, the child learns from the parent. So the faithful who learn from their bishop learn how to be loving, how to be compassionate, how to be caring, how to be faithful, how to share the love of Christ with others. This has to come from the shepherd. Mm-hmm. He has to show them and remind them, because sometimes we forget that this is who we're supposed to be.
So there's protection, there's guidance, there's love. All of these are those valuable traits of fatherhood.
Absolutely.
Whether they be in a bishop or in a father within his own family, right?
That's right.
Okay.
You just have a larger family.
Larger family.
When I'm with my people, I say, you know, you are my family,
right?
Because they are.
Right, they are. Now, let's talk about expressing the traits. I do my best. I mean, how do you deal with expressing that love to so many people?
Well, I would first say that I watch how my father was with me. And so he provided protection and shelter. He provided guidance. He showed me love. And again, when necessary, the discipline. For me, I have to spend time with my people.
Mm-hmm.
And I love spending time with my people, talking with my people. And so I visit my communities for feast days. I go to communities when they're celebrating an anniversary milestone, say 25, 50, 100 years. An anniversary of a priest who has been in the ministry for 25 or 50 years. If there's a wedding, I try to go to the wedding. If there's a baptism, if there are, you know, business conventions or sobors, clergy laities, to be there to get to know your people. You cannot be, in my opinion, a good shepherd sitting in the office. Office work is very important, and we like to keep it moving. But I believe that time with the people is the more important of the two.
You and I spent a few summers at the St. Stephen summer camp.
We did, Father.
And I know that summer camping is, any kind of camping really, is important. But those summer camp programs within your diocese has one of the most successful summer camps. And I understand that you are there every day that camp is in session. Why?
That's correct, Father.
Why is it important for you to be there, Your Grace?
Well, let me just say that I've been working with young people my entire life. And when I was in the metropolis of Atlanta and we were at summer camp, I was responsible for youth ministry of the metropolis. And for 5 weeks, I was at St. Stephen's, as you said. Mm-hmm. And so I got used to summer camp time. You go to camp. When I was consecrated the bishop here in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and I told them at the consecration banquet, I'm going to be at summer camp. I don't think they believed me that I would be there the whole time. Our Camp Nazareth is in northwestern Pennsylvania, and I consider it the crown jewel of our diocese when it comes to youth. It's used by us for 3 weeks. The Pittsburgh metropolis of the GOA is there for 4 weeks. There's an Episcopal Diocese of Western Pennsylvania that they're there for a week, and they have been there from the beginning, all these groups. And we're almost 40 years now there. For the weeks that we're there, when I say that we, the Carpathian Russians and their kids and myself, a child comes for 1 to 3 weeks, and they are in our piece of paradise on earth. This is the way I describe it. They come, they unplug from the electronics, no iPhone. Can you imagine? The child starts gasping for air the minute you take away their electronics.
For sure.
And you really mean this, that we can't have electronics? Yes, we really mean it. You have to learn how to breathe a new way without this electronic gizmos. Mm-hmm. The children come, and they're at a place where it's all Orthodox. 150 other kids, they don't have to explain anything about Orthodoxy because they're all Orthodox. Mm-hmm. 18 hours a day. They're Orthodox. They're worshiping. There's fellowship, sports, arts and crafts, time with priests that they don't know from other cities, meals, hiking, swimming. This year at Camp Nazareth, we're introducing a new ropes course. We have every day an hour where the kids of the different cabins sit down with the bishop and they ask him whatever they want. I don't ask them anything. They ask me. And I did this for my first summer because I wanted my kids to learn who their new bishop was. And I wanted to learn the kids. I wanted to know who they were. And the 6 hours a day, they're sleeping Orthodox, if indeed they're sleeping 6 hours. But what's going to come out of this group of young people? The next generation of priests, the next generation of priest wives, catechism teachers, choir members, leaders of parish councils, boards, ladies auxiliaries. Who knows? Maybe even the next hierarch of our diocese is going to come from this group of kids that are at camp. Camps are wonderful. You know this. Mm-hmm. And we know we're hitting home runs at camp because nobody wants to leave at the end of the week.
They don't.
They're crying, Father.
That's right.
You see them. They don't want to get on the bus. They don't want to get in their car. They don't want to leave. And it's not the little ones. The little ones, I would understand if they're crying. But when I see 17, 18-year-old boys who never cry, crying with each other, hugging each other because they're leaving, you know they had the week of their life.
That's right.
And they don't want to leave. And so we know that these things are important. If they're important for the kids, I need to be there with the kids. I want it to be important for them and important for me. And so I just take out the month that my kids are there and say, no parish visits. Call me if it's an emergency. Other than that, I don't want to know.
No, and I've seen you at work with the young people, and I have to say that, and honestly, I'm very much in awe with the way that you dedicate yourself. I wonder, just so it's not a trick question, but it's a question I think people could ask. How do you respond to people who say that the bishops being celibate or single and not having the experience of having holy matrimony, having their own children? I mean, how do you relate to kids?
Well, that's a good question, and we hear it sometimes mm-hmm. as hierarchs. You know, what do you know about children
right.
and families?
Right, right, right.
Well, I'd have to say, first of all the bishops are human beings.
Right.
They may be single, but they know what love is.
Mm-hmm.
They grew up in some type of family with parents, maybe siblings, and there was love there. I personally had 20 first cousins and many second cousins, and so I was always around children my whole life. In fact, I was the oldest of the group, and there's about a 25-year spread from me to the youngest one. So you see that as they were growing up, I was already an adult, and they were kids. I don't believe that I must father a child biologically to understand when a child is happy and thriving, as opposed to a child that's sad and suffering and withering on the vine. I mean, let's be serious. I don't have to have biological children, but I have many spiritual children, and I pray for them and I love them. So I understand what it means to be a child because I was a child at one time. And when I wasn't loved, I felt it. When I was loved, I felt it. And so, yes, we are not married as hierarchs, but we are married to the church. And in my diocese of nearly 10,000 people, I'm serving as the father of 10,000 members of the family. And so, yes, the critics can say this, but, you know, I'm a taxpayer. I can see the schools are not functioning well. I can have an opinion. They're not my children, but I see them. I'm part of the human race. And so it could be a legitimate criticism for some, but hopefully not a broad brush for all the bishops.
Your Grace, it's always an honor to speak with you. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Father Chris, thank you.
Bishop Gregory of Nyssa is a ruling bishop of the American Carpatho-Russian Orthodox Diocese as a titular bishop of the Ecumenical Patriarchate. And this is Come Receive the Light, a broadcast outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network on the web, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Google+. And to hear this conversation again, go to our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. We're a nonprofit outreach. We appreciate your prayers and your financial support. Well, we're going to end today right where we started.
There was a song many years ago asking this question, what if God were one of us? It went through many scenarios challenging the listener to see the image of God in one another. Have we strayed so far from our purpose that we no longer see the divine in one another? Here to tell us about a lecture addressing this topic is Dr. Kideki Fitzgerald. She's a theologian, educator, licensed psychologist, and co-founder of St. Catherine's Vision, and, full disclosure, my classmate as well. This sounds like an interesting lecture. Let's ask, I guess, the obvious question. What inspired you to choose this topic?
Well, by the grace of God, St. Catherine's Vision, a few years ago, discerned to expand its ministry, expand its outreach to include not just women theologians who desire to serve the church, but anyone who desires to serve the church. And that left us in a new place in our history. Mm-hmm. And after taking a year of just quiet prayer, we called it jokingly chilling together in the presence of God, we discerned the issue of divine compassion. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so for us to really reflect on what that means opens us up to change and opens us up to see one another as being created in the image and likeness of God. And so having experienced that amongst ourselves, we started initiatives of education, spiritual development, and conversation engaging this issue of divine compassion. So we had a conference in November of 2013 on divine compassion and Orthodox Christians in service of perfect love. Last year we had a conference on divine compassion and women of the church. In other words, not just women and the church, but there are women serving within the life of the church that benefits the whole body, men and women. And this year, we've discerned that we wish to expand our attention in a public service manner as well. And so Metropolitan Callisto's coming is helping us inaugurate our first public service ministry on divine compassion and human trafficking.
Okay, before we go there, let's talk a little bit about His Eminence Metropolitan Callisto Swear of the Euclea. We know that he's offering the keynote on divine compassion and restoring the human icon. So can you tell our listeners about His Eminence, and why did you choose him to speak at the event?
Metropolitan Callistos, forgive me as I bluntly say, is a legend in the Orthodox world today. If you ask any of the most respected Orthodox clergy and theologians, who would you say is one of the top three or the top most respected Orthodox thinker, teacher, instructor alive today, his name would be first. He has written many books engaging issues regarding to the fathers. He's translated the Philokalia. He has written the standard book called The Orthodox Church, which is a classic for those who are studying Orthodoxy, and many other books that, in his humbleness, he has produced. As brilliant as he is also equally as kind and as humble and self-effacing. And so the church has used him over the years in ecumenical discussion, in discussing issues that are tender, especially regarding the human person. Much of his work has been on the theology of the human person. And so because of the brokenness of this world, because of our concern for the world becoming, and the church, people in the church becoming more aware of the issue of divine compassion, I can't think of anybody better than His Eminence Metropolitan Callistos to come and speak to us and be with us and advise us on this issue.
Well, he's also, when I've spoken to him and interviewed him many times throughout the course of the years here at OCN, he's also amazed at the popularity of the books that he's written, especially that first book. And he said, I can't believe I wrote this book, and look, now everybody knows about it. Let's talk a little bit about who's sponsoring the event, because I think that's important to raise this St. Catherine's Vision. And what is that?
Well, St. Catherine's Vision is a fellowship of Orthodox women theologians and other lay servant leaders. In fact, some ordained servant leaders are joining us as well, engaging contemporary issues in the life of the church. And we do this quietly. We do this as an act of love. Last year, we shared a document with the world asking that the church rejuvenate the ministry of the ordained deaconess, which we think is an important aspect of divine compassion. And now we are engaging this issue of human trafficking that is happening all over the planet is an issue we cannot hide from. It's affecting us in our neighborhoods here in the United States, North America, and all over the world. It's an Orthodox problem. It's a Christian problem. It's a world problem. And I believe, and St. Catherine's Vision believes, that the Church has a lot to say on this. And so what we're hoping is to quietly talk about this during our program, introducing it when we get together on June 20th for our program featuring Metropolitan Kallistos and his lecture, and also offering a brunch and an informal optional workshop for those who wish to remain to learn more about this issue.
Okay.
And so we hope to touch hearts. We hope to inform. We hope to inspire that we all are created in the image and likeness of God. And as you began with the song, yes, we are all on that same bus, mm-hmm. just one of us, as you were saying.
Okay. Let's talk about when and where the lecture is going to take place.
The lecture will take place Saturday, June 20th, at Hellenic College, Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology at the Maliotis Center. Mm-hmm. Registration starts at 8:30. There will be opportunities for coffee and cookies while we register. And the program should begin about an hour later, followed by, as I said, a brunch and an optional workshop okay. on the issue of divine compassion and human trafficking.
And is there a fee or a ticket price for the event?
The fee for the program is $35.
Okay, very good. And can you do this in advance where you go and register online, or you do it that day when you come to the event?
Both, but it would help us in getting prepared if people were to register ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And so I know there are a number of Orthodox groups that are going to help us with the publicity, but the listener can always check stcatherinesvision.org or stcatherinesvision.com, our website, and you'll have all the information there on how to sign up for tickets.
Okay, so for more information on this lecture series and the work, the special work of St. Catherine's Vision, listeners, you can find their link at St. Catherine's, that's spelled out S-A-I-N-T-C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E-S, vision.com, or on our website at myocn.net.
Oh, great.
Thank you, Doctor, for being with us today, and we wish you every success in this conference.
Thank you very much, Father Chris.
And thank you for joining with us today as we present another weekly edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. He is also the founder and executive director of the ministry and the president-elect of Hellenic College Holy Cross, a Greek Orthodox school of theology. You'll be hearing more about that as the weeks and months go by. I hope you'll join us next week and let your friends know about the broadcast and this greater outreach called the Orthodox Christian Network on the web at myocn.net, also on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Google+. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.